Hey, Through the Word, Peyton Jones here, and today we'll be picking up on part two of where we left off in chapter two, where Peter convicts an entire crowd of people of a crime they committed. Have you ever watched a crime show and been amazed how the detectives pull together a bunch of different evidence, facts, timestamps, and reconstruct a crime scene finally leading to a conviction? Well, that same thing is going to happen in this chapter. So let's jump back in to Acts chapter 2. Before we do that, remember the Holy Spirit dropped a bomb in Jerusalem, baptizing the apostles with the Holy Spirit. And with this anointing and power, as Jesus called it, they spread out like gospel shrapnel, preaching the gospel, embedding themselves into the community. But here, in chapter 2, at the epicenter, Peter gives the sermon of his lifetime. And at the end of the chapter, we'll read about the impact it had. Let's reset the stage. The people thought the apostles were drunk because they were filled with joy and praising Jesus. In response to everyone hearing the apostles speaking in their own language, verse 7, utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who were speaking Galileans? How is it then that each of us hears them in our native language?" But some made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Now, we could translate that as, "Go home, Peter, you're drunk." But Peter reminds them that the taverns aren't even open yet. It's only 9 in the morning. And then he kicks into a full-blown sermon. Peter says, "I'm not drunk. The taverns aren't even open. But I tell you what is open, the heavens. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And he quotes that Old Testament passage in verse 17. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I don't know about you, but this probably wouldn't have been my go-to Bible passage. I mean, Joel is an obscure Old Testament, lesser-known prophet who talked about a plague of locusts. But buried within that little book are these verses, this powerful passage about God pouring out his spirit on all flesh in the last days. Peter says, this is what is happening right now. But he also lets them know, hey, it's not just for me. This is for you and your children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. He even says that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Did you see the different people groups there? Young, old, male, female, rich, poor? And they would dream dreams, prophecy, see visions, and all kinds of supernatural gift type things. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Power will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, starting in Jerusalem." Peter's saying that these gifts of the Holy Spirit will help us become witnesses of Jesus. That's what was happening. And my friend, we may not all be evangelists, but we can all be witnesses. And sometimes that just means using your gifts. After all, your gifts are how Jesus puts a you suit on, how he shows himself to the world through your unique gifting. Jesus will show himself to the world through you as you use whatever combination of the 30-odd gifts in the Bible God has given you. The gift of salvation brings with it our unique gifts of ministry. And Peter had the gift of gab. So he preaches a powerful sermon, somehow in the original language or native tongues of everyone present. And with a tongue set on fire, by the Holy Spirit, Peter delivers the home run sermon of his lifetime. It's persuasive, prophetic, explanatory, countercultural, and convicting. Verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Let's stop there. This is important. Peter points out that despite them witnessing a miracle right there that day, God had delivered plenty of miracles throughout Jesus before they'd killed him, and they'd missed it all. This was a second chance. And Peter doesn't mince words here. Like a detective, he rebuilds the crime scene, walking them through their offenses like Columbo at the end of a mystery. First, they ignored his miracles when he was alive. That was their first crime. Then they put him to death. Second crime. And while they were still trying to figure out his resurrection and whatever happened there, Peter tells them that this latest event here today on Pentecost was the last piece of the puzzle. It was time for them to get a clue. So Peter helps him out again in verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Boom. Talk about your bold statements to a crowd. But what's all this business about King David? David was Israel's most amazing king, a warrior, poet, and prophet. David is important to this audience because it was to David that God had promised the Savior would come through his line. That's why the term for Messiah was often the Son of David. But the Messiah or Savior wouldn't rule from the throne that David had built. He'd sit next to God himself in heaven after being raised from the dead. Let's reread that knockout punchline Peter delivers in verse 36. Let all of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He was here, Peter said, and you killed him. They're caught at the crime scene in Jerusalem. The jig is up, and they realize they've been caught red-handed. Blood is on their hands. They murdered God, and Peter retraces the steps of their horrific crimes against not only heaven, but God and even their own souls. And it destroys them. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? Hear the sheer desperation in that cry. I remember feeling the same desperation the first time I heard Jesus was coming back to judge the world. I was only 14, but I went to bed clutching a Gideon Bible and a cross, hoping Jesus didn't come back and judge me that night. Like these people, I was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I just hadn't surrendered to Jesus yet. Peter's answer to that question, what shall we do, was not, hey, raise your hand there in the back. God sees your hand. God bless you, little guy. It was a bit more serious. Verse 37. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day 3,000 souls. Peter tells him, repent, which means to change your mind. It's where we get our word metanoia, meaning a crisis or an unmaking. They needed not only to repent of killing Jesus, but to change his mind about who he was, and to show the world they changed their mind by being baptized. A public declaration that I'm with him now, kind of like marriage. I like Jesus so much, I put a ring on it. 3,000 people being saved is shocking, and Peter was probably the most shocked of all. But most shocking of all is our own salvation, that God forgave us.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.